Okay. Today's daf is Gitin Pe Aleph. Start right at the top of the Mishnah. Have a few Mishnayot today. Machlokot between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So the Mishnah starts out. One of them we actually referenced already. It'll be a little review. This one we didn't get to yet. Katav legareshet ishto v'nimlach. Let's say somebody writes a get to his wife, but he changes his mind. So Beit Shammai Omrim, let's say he's a Kohen. He doesn't have to be a Kohen. But let's say the wife now, let's say he dies. Okay, what happened? He wrote her a get. He didn't give it to her yet. And then he died.
So they're still married.
But he actually wrote a get to her. So we know that a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. So Beit Shammai says in this case, Beit Shammai Omrim, Salam mina kimuna. This is what we call Re'ach HaGet. Okay? Re'ach HaGet means, right, what's the issue? Any divorcee can't marry a Kohen. This woman wasn't exactly divorced, but there was something of a divorce about her because the husband actually wrote her a get. Now, the assumption has to be here that the get was fully written, okay? Not that he was in the middle of writing a get, but the get was fully written, and then he dies. So we're concerned that it appears that she's a grusha, okay? So we'll see a little bit more inside soon. Like, what exactly? Yeah. Anyway, the issue is, it's called Re'ach HaGet. And Beit Hillel Omrim, Af al pish natnu la al tnai, v'lo na'aseh al tnai, lo psalah min ha'kehuna. He says, not only do we not consider her a grusha in this case, if he wrote the get, but even if he went further and he gave her the get, but the get was given upon the fulfillment of a condition, and the condition wasn't fulfilled, then she can still marry a Kohen. Okay? You follow the extreme. He says, even to the extent that she has a get in her hand, she received a get. But if the get wasn't effective yet, because it was based on a condition that wasn't fulfilled, then she's not psula min ha'kehuna. Okay, so now we're going to have a question related to this. Shalach le Rav Yosef, b'rei de Rav Menashe midvil, l'shmuel. Okay, he asks the question to Shmuel. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, yatsa alav kol. If a kol came out, what's a kol? A rumor. A rumor spreads that ish ploni kohen katav get l'ishto, v'yoshevet tachtavu m'shamashto. We have a rumor about this man that he wrote a get to his wife, and yet she's still hanging out in his house, okay? She's still with him. Mahu, what's the halacha? So shalach lei, teitzei, v'har davar tzarich b'dika. She has to get divorced. She has to leave. In other words, she can't stay with him. And it needs to be looked into. So now the question is going to be, well, what's the issue here, right? Didn't we, first of all, we passed on like Beit Hillel, and Beit Hillel says, if the get was just written, she's not psula min ha'kehuna, right? So if she's not considered a grusha, then she should be able to stay with her husband. So what's the issue? So that's what the Gemara is going to ask. So shalach lei, mahi, what's this issue of teitzei, like, what? Why do we have to look into this? What's hadavar tzarich p'tika? Is the question, if you want to say, okay, is always going to be rejected. If you want to say the question is, this is a very interesting question, do we accept rumors or do we cancel rumors? Okay, is there a concept that if a rumor is spread, do we say it's just a rumor and our job is to basically say we don't subscribe to rumors and rumors don't hold any weight? Or do we not say that? And we say if there's a rumor, then we should be concerned that maybe she's divorced. Okay? So, is that the issue? That can't be the issue. Why? V'ha nahardea atre d'shmuel hi. Nahardea was the place where Shmuel was in charge. Ooh, and that's where the question came out of. Ooh, b'nahardea lo mevat lekale. And in the city of Nahardea, they hold like Shmuel, and Shmuel holds that we don't cancel out rumors. In other words, we give credit, we give credibility to rumors. If there's rumors, then we assume that there must be some truth in the rumor, right? It's all, you can see the logic both ways, right? If there's a rumor, then it must be that there's some legit, it came from somewhere. Rumors don't grow out of nowhere. On the other hand, you can also see the other side, which is, you know, it's just a rumor, there's no proof. So they're basically saying that can't be the question, okay? Because it must be that they hold like Shmuel there and they don't cancel rumors, in which case, what do they have to check into? So what do they have to check into now? Ela di'ikar l'netina k'tiva. Maybe the question is, when the rumor spread, and it's, yes, they accept the rumor, but what did the rumor say? The rumor said that he wrote a get to his wife. It didn't say he gave the get to his wife. So now what's going to be the question here? Do they, sometimes they have to check into, in that place, do they call writing a get, giving the get? Remember we've seen if somebody says writing a get, it means they meant actually give the get. So the question is, some places they interchange writing and giving. When they say writing, they mean giving. So that's what we have to check into. So now they say, but if that's the case, just because they also call Natina Ktiva doesn't mean that every time they say Ktiva, right? Let's say they sometimes call Natina Ktiva, right? So the guys, you know, the rumor was they wrote a get to the woman. So now the question is going to be, well, just because Ktiva sometimes means Natina, it could also mean that he just wrote a get. So therefore, we still don't know for sure. Yeah.
It just seems so ridiculous compared to what we learned yesterday, that if they actually specifically write, and they write the wrong city, they write the wrong type of date, then it totally invalidates it. And here they're giving so much leeway to validate something that might not, if it's based on rumors or
okay, so first of all, there obviously is a get, I assume. Right? Oh, maybe not. That's a good question. Is there a get? It's just a rumor, right?
You can think. We've seen so often that the tzarot, the other wives, set out to undermine.
Right. I guess there's a rumor, right? But the rumor would be that he wrote a good get. In other words, there was a problem with the get itself. Here, there's a question: is there a get or is there not a get?
Both cases are trying to protect.
If it is, we're going to assume it's a valid one, right?
Both cases go in the opposite direction, but they're both protecting against Eishet Ish.
Right, it's true. In the end, they are protecting against Eishet Ish, which is what we're concerned about. Right, that's a good point. That in either way, we're trying to protect what the effects are. So if that's the case, right, we might also call it ktiva. So now, what do they say? No, Ian, it's true. But de'igale milta de'karo le'netina ktiva dilma datan kamre. Right. Therefore, it doesn't. As in the end, it might be that it was ktiva. Right? But since we don't know, and exactly what Aviva said is, we have to be concerned that maybe he actually did give it to her, and therefore that's why he said, Hadavar tzarich bdika, we need to look into this because maybe she is actually divorced. Okay? Or maybe she's not actually divorced. Right? We don't know which one. Okay. So now we're going to ask a question. Tetze, do we really have to make her leave him? Vaha amar of Ashi, Kol kala debatar nisuin lo cheshinale. Okay, now we're jumping a number of generations ahead. Remember, Shmuel is the first Emora, and now we're getting to Rav Ashi, who's the last Emora. So while we said that Shmuel says we accept rumors, right? We don't dismiss them. However, what do we learn here? That Rav Ashi says that any rumor that comes after she's already married, we don't pay attention to. Okay? So now, what's going to be the issue? My tetze, nami tetze mi sheni. Ah, so what are they saying? The tetze doesn't mean she has to get divorced from her first husband, because that would be a rumor after they've already been married. But what's the issue? Yes, she's already been married to this guy, but let's say she goes off and marries someone else, and then we hear this rumor that he wrote a get to his wife, and we don't know did he really give the get or not. So can she go marry someone else based on the fact that there's a rumor that maybe she's, right, maybe she got a get, maybe
this
she didn't.
This assumes that the second husband is a Kohen.
Right, so then the issue is going to be here.
The first one died.
Right, right, exactly. Right, and then, so there's a rumor that she's a grusha. Right, this was the case, right, because the case was that she was married to the first guy dies, but there was a rumor that he had written her a get. So the whole question is she considered a divorcee and can she go marry the next guy? So therefore, that's what we're saying. She has to be tetzei from the, if she married a Kohen and there was a rumor beforehand spreading around that maybe her first husband had divorced her, then the issue is going to be that she has to get divorced from the second guy. So then they say,
what about the children of the first husband?
Ah, yafeh, that's going to be the question. Okay, Im kein atzamotzila zabanav shorishon. Right? How could you say that? Because now people are going to say, oh, well, if she was divorced from her husband, her first husband, what about her kids? Then it was, you know, she had children. Right, then the issue would be,
what's the problem with the children if she
had
the
second
marriage?
Ah, so that's what they're going to say. Kevan de mishane, who de lemeimar, samach lemita garsha. We can assume, what's the whole question? The kids will be chalalim. In other words, if, let's say there really was a divorce, and then he takes her back, Kohen can't be machzir gerushato, and the kids will be chalalim. So they're saying, no, if we're going to assume, when are we going to assume, right? Kol od, she's married to the first guy, right? She's within the first marriage. We're not having any chashashot. Now, obviously, what's the issue?
What happened?
Right, when she goes to marry the second guy, right, then already we're going to assume that maybe she was divorced, right? At this point.
Yes.
However, if we're only assuming she's divorced after the first marriage ended, well, then she can't be divorced. So what are we going to assume? It was that moment just before he died. That's when the get was affected.
So why would that affect her children?
No, it won't affect her children. If we assume that sometime in the middle of her first marriage she was divorced, then we're in it. Once we say you can't marry this guy because we assumed you were divorced from the first husband, then people are going to say, oh, she was divorced from the first husband. When did that happen? Did it happen 5 years into the marriage? Did it happen 10 years into the marriage? Then we start opening up a Pandora's box and people are going to start saying, maybe the kids are chalalim. But we say, no. Since we're only suspect when it comes to a future marriage and not the original marriage, we can assume that it happened samuch lemita. And therefore, we're not opening any Pandora's box for the earlier children from the first marriage. Okay. Now, we're going to have a whole thing about Dorot HaRishonim and Dorot HaAchronim. We're going to have two cases. One, yeah,
this
sure.
This doesn't sit right.
Okay.
Except for the fact that there has to be documentation so that... Rumors aside, in order to determine that a child that was born is a halal or a kasher, or to determine whether there's all
yesterday
is
we assumed
there's the get.
Yesterday we
there's
assumed that somebody had a get.
No, but sometimes the get's right. Sometimes the get disappears.
Ketubah doesn't disappear. Why would a get disappear?
Sometimes they lose the get. First of all, there's cases we saw where they rip it up.
Why do you assume that the get was given before? I mean, people didn't just. I mean, people got divorced. People had gets. So why do you automatically assume that it must have happened right before he died? Otherwise, the children maybe it happened before the children were born.
It could have happened before, but the whole issue is we just decided that. There's no, after Nisuin, there's no room. We don't accept rumors. So we don't accept the rumor until he's dead, you know, until it goes to the next marriage. But obviously, if we're going to accept the rumor, it has to happen sometime before he died. So we're going to assume it happens right before he died. In other words, this rumor does not affect the first marriage at all. Therefore, their kids it doesn't affect. But it does affect things down the road. But the question is, without a get, why are we so concerned? But I think it's just the issue, as I can't imagine there's a get here. So otherwise, there wouldn't be...
There'd be proof.
Right, yeah. There'd be proof.
Yeah.
But God forbid, let's say there was a situation, and I'm thinking of something specific, I'll catch you in a second, where somebody knows that the chances of their being killed are high, and they don't want their wife in limbo. Maybe they've got this very short... And what I'm thinking of is when the Twin Towers came down. Was So I'm wondering if there are... Very limited, because I agree with Naomi, it's like weird that you would try to come up with a get in a very last minute.
So we definitely saw cases where people would give a get at the very last minute. All the shchiv meira, right? The guy's on his deathbed and he says, write a get to my wife, and then we accept it. That we say, even if you just say kitvu, it's as if you say kitvu v'tnu, which is the same situation here. You're saying that could have caused the fact that the get has disappeared because it was all done so quickly and nobody really paid so much attention to it.
In a case like this, why can't they just say there was no, if there is no get, that she was a widow.
So I think, again, it's all a matter. So I think what's going on here is the same concern as to how careful do we have to be with Kohanim. In other words, it's all lechumer, right? We're trying to say we don't want someone to marry her. In the mission, we don't paskin like Beit Hillel, but Beit Hillel is saying there's reach haget here. There's some sort of it smells like a get, right? And there's some sort of indication that this woman was a divorcee. So here, there's a rumor that's spread about her that something, right, that she Right there, what's the difference there in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, he wrote a get and then changed his mind. Here, we don't know for sure that he wrote a get, but we also never heard that he changed his mind, right? So
there must be some witnesses. If someone writes a get, there has to be witnesses. Well, there were...
Right.
There's somebody who wrote it.
Someone had to deliver it.
I would say it's preferable to have witnesses against either a death certificate or something, evidence, but not against Reach HaGet. Reach HaGet shouldn't carry the same weight and come into any equation.
Right. I think the issue, right. So, first of all, it is pretty chamor that we're going to make her actually divorce the, you know, he has to divorce her. On the other hand, I think it's just all a protection of Kohanim, and I think it's this, you know, it almost reminds me a little bit of the way the Prushim were very careful with the, they would even ichulim b'tahara, you know, like they went to this extent, and I think that's also the way they viewed the Kohanim. The Kohanim had to be in this higher, you know, had to keep to a higher standard. So even a rumor was enough to preclude. Now, you have to remember, this is according to Shmuel, who holds that we don't cancel rumors. There was this whole other approach that we do cancel rumors, that we don't give credence to rumors. So there were different approaches as to how do we treat rumors. So it seems to me that there really is no get here, and it's really just an issue of concern.
I also feel like probably in those days, people lived on top of each other, and everyone knew each other's, like, business.
So if there was a rumor, there was...
But
that could work. What you're saying could work the opposite, which is if everybody knows everything, well, then they should know for sure that.
Right.
So you have to say that's what it goes by. Okay, we're going to read a little more about this now. It's a little bit of a twist, but we're going to. Amar Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Okay, we're going to see two statements by him about the difference between earlier generations and later generations. Ure'e shelo kidorot harishonim dorot haachronim. Dorot harishonim, right? This is always the, right? Oh, the old days. Okay? Dorot harishonim, Beit Shammai, dorot haachronim, Rabbi Dosa. In the dorot harishonim, okay, this is why also I think it's like the Prushim, you know, about how careful we were in the early days. We kept like Beit Shammai. And the dorot haachronim, like Rabbi Dosa. Ditanya, what are we talking about here? We haven't heard Rabbi Dosa yet. Shvuya ochela petruma divrei Rabbi Dosa. And so in the early days, if someone got captured, right, she was taken into captivity, what do we assume? We've learned this before, that she must have been raped. So if she was raped, she can no longer eat truma. Let's say she's a bat kohen, right? Or she was married to a kohen. She certainly can't go back. Right? If someone's raped, they can't go back to be married to their original husband. So here, if someone's captured, so they used to stop eating truma. But according to Rabbi Dosa, she can eat truma. Amar Rabbi Dosa, v'chima asala aravize mipnei she'me'ech laben dadeha psala mina kehuna. And we're going to apostle her the kehuna just because somebody touched her, right? The assumption is they just played around. They didn't actually sleep with the women, right? This you could also assume might have depended on historically what was going on, right? Who were the people taking people into captivity, and what were they doing with the people they took into captivity, right? It could have changed. Right? The Dorot HaRishonim, Dorot HaAchronim Kan could mean, according to the Gemara here, they mean that they had different standards. According to, you know, logic could state that it could be in Rabbi Dosa's time, it was different from Beit Shammai in terms of who were the people taking into captivity and what were they doing with the women they captured. But it's not just in this area. Amar Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Bo Re'e Shelo Kedarot HaRishonim, Darot HaAchronim. Here's another way where we see Hidardirut, right? The decline of the generations. Darot HaRishonim Machnisim Perotehem Derech Trak Simon Kedei L'Chayvam V'Maasir. Darot HaAchronim Machnisim Perotehem Derech Gagot V'Derech Karpifot I'll explain this all in a minute. I'd like to read the last thing first, explain that, and then go back. There's a machloket, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yochanan, about what is mechayev you in maaser? Is it riyat pnei habayit, when it comes through the front gate of your house, into your actual house? Or according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's even if it enters your chatzer. Okay, so Rabbi Yanai's proof is, when you say the bi'ur ma'asrot, okay, which says, I've gotten rid of all the masorot in my house. Okay, you say, Bi'arti HaKodesh min habayit. So what does that prove? It has to have come into the house to be chayav in masorot, because I'm taking out everything that was in my house. But the Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it says, V'ichlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. After you take your trumot and masro, right, you eat in your sha'ar. Your sha'ar is your entrance to your whole courtyard. So therefore, he says, just bring it into your courtyard, already is v'chayv you and masro. Now, what's the important one is Rabbi Yanai here. Now, let's go backwards. So according to Rabbi Yanai, you're only chayv masro, now, mida oraita, you're still chayav mida rabbanan. But you're only chayav maaser midoraita if it comes through your front door. So what would people do? They bring it into their property through the roof, okay, which is not considered an area where you live, and therefore you're patra from maaser midoraita. Or they would bring it through their karpaf, which is like this enclosed area outside their house.
Shabbat.
Yeah, when Shabbat it comes up. Yes. So now we saw recently with the woman, if you threw it into her karpaf, she would also be divorced. So now, what would they do? They bring it in some other way. Now, what's the nafkamina? So what? It's still chayav maaser midorabanan. Mm. The nafkamina is that if you're chayav maaser midoraita, you can't eat it at all, okay? Either derech keva, like a meal, or derech harai, if you just want to nibble on it, okay? You want to take a piece. You can't do it if you're chayav maaser midoraita. But if you're chayav maaser midorabanan, if you brought it to your house through your chatzir, your karpach, you'd be allowed to eat it without taking truman and masrot if you're eating derech arai, not in a formal meal, but just a snack. So therefore, they would bring it in that way, and that way they'd avoid having to do truman and masrot if they just want a snack on something.
This was the younger generation.
This was, no, so the older generation, right, these are the younger generation, right. The older people would always make sure that any fruit that passed through their house, anything would go through, anything chayav masrot would go through their front door. And that way, they'd always be chayav maaser midoraita, and they were machpid on it. And the younger generation, we want to cut corners. Okay, so that was another statement about the older and the younger. Remember, this is obviously, they're talking in the, this is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who's basically first to second generation Emoraim. So, happened pretty quickly, the decline of the generations. We saw this case. Somebody divorces their wife. We're in a new Mishnah. Someone divorces their wife, and then she sleeps with him in an inn, right? They meet, okay? They go into a motel, and they're together. She does not need another get. She's still considered divorced from him. She needs another get, because the assumption is they slept together, and therefore, remember we saw this, they slept with her l'shem kiddushin, okay, there was a whole machloket, which we only saw one side of the machloket, today we're going to see both, okay, you can see already on the chart, there's going to be a machloket, in which case are we talking about that there's a machloket, and in which case would they agree? Is it that Adim saw that they actually slept together? Okay, or Adim didn't see that they slept together. Okay, and then we're going to see what did the Adim see and what's going to be the machloket. So we don't know yet. At this point, all we know is if they were alone in an inn after the divorce, it's not a good divorce according to Beit Hillel. And I told you that we paskin this way, actually. Ematai, but in what kind of case is this? Bizman shenit garshamin anisuin. Only if she's divorced after they've already been married. Remember what the assumption is. The assumption is before they're married, right? Again, there were some cases where people did sleep together before they were married, but generally, after they were engaged, before they were married, in that in-between stage, they didn't generally sleep together, and therefore, they're going to say, umodim, they agree, binitgarshim in a erusin, if they got divorced from engagement, because remember, erusin is halachic engagement, needs divorce, not like nowadays. Just to clarify, not like what we call engagement nowadays, right? We do engagement under the chuppah just before the marriage. Even Beit Hillel would agree that if they were only engaged, they wouldn't need another get. We're assuming since they never were, the assumption is they haven't yet slept together. And therefore, if they haven't yet slept together, then the assumption is when they're together in this inn, they're not going to all of a sudden after the get decide, oh, now's the time we're going to start sleeping together. Okay, libo gaspa. We saw this before with the shifcha, right? That her liba was gaspa shifcha. That she was regil. She was used to it, Right? So here, he's not used to sleeping with her, therefore the assumption isn't that they slept together. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we have our first opinion about this machloket. Machloket b'shtera'u ha'shenivala. The machloket is in the case where they saw that they slept together. And then if you remember, we saw this. De'beit shamai savre, adam oseh bi'ilato bi'ilatznut. Beit Shammai hold that he didn't sleep with her. In other words, yes, they slept together. That doesn't bother us. Because he was just sleeping with her, b'tor znut. It was prostitution. In other words, he didn't mean, the main thing is, he didn't mean to marry her through that, right? That some, right, Beit Hillel Savre, ain't adam oseh bi'ilato bi'ilatznut, and therefore, what must he have been doing? Remarrying her, because one of the ways of getting married is through bi'ah, through sexual relations. So what he wanted to is, yes, he gave her a get, but now he wants to get back together with her. And by doing, by having sexual relations, he's showing that, and therefore, he needs another get, or she needs a get. She's going to say she's not an eshedish. Aval, but if lo ra'u ha'shenivala, remember, you also need edim for kiddushin, right? So if there were no edim that saw that they slept together, divrei hakol ein tzricha himenu get sheni. In that case, Beit Hillel would agree that we don't need a get sheni. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to ask. Something doesn't make sense here. Tanan umodim binitgarsha min ha'erusin she'ena tzricha himena get sheni, she'en li bo gaspa. Remember, what did we say? They both agree that if it was from Erusin, they don't need a new get because en libo gaspa, and therefore, what's the assumption of that line? They didn't sleep together. But according to Rabbi Rachan and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, what's the Mishnah talking about? A case where Edim saw that they slept together. So if the Edim saw that they slept together, mali mina Erusin, mali mina Nisuin. What's the difference? Right? Yes, it's true, and that's why I specifically said it. The assumption is that in Erusin they weren't sleeping together. But if they were aging, they saw they were sleeping together, well, then obviously he was sleeping with her, and then we can assume again that Beit Hillel will say he must have been sleeping with her, l'shem kiddushin, and therefore he's redoing the kiddushin, the Erusin, and therefore he should need another get. So therefore, what do we have to say now? So do you follow now that Rabbi Bar Bachana's opinion doesn't match the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says it depends whether it's Nisuin or Erusin, right? The whole question, the whole assumption is of the Mishnah, we don't really know that they slept together. We're going to depend it on were they married, were they engaged. According to Rabbi Rachan, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is in a case where Edim saw they slept together, meaning we know they slept together. It's just a matter of what was his intent when he slept with her. Was it L'shem Kiddushin or was it L'shem Znut? So therefore, it doesn't make sense with the Mishnah. So what are we going to now say? Yes, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are mentioned in this Mishnah. And yes, it doesn't match Rabbi Rachana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So what can we just simply say? For Rabbi Yochanan, matnitin, right? Ella, what are we going to say? The Mishnah is b'shelo ra'u ha'shenivala. For Rabbi Yochanan, da'amar ki aitana d'tanya v'chule. I'm going to stop for a minute and explain before I keep reading. There's two different approaches to Beit Shammai Beit Hillel's machloket. Our Mishnah has one approach, and there's a braita that shows Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So therefore, we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't work in with our Mishnah at all. But that's okay because right, we can never. Right, we always have if a Nemora disagrees with the Mishnah. What are we going to say? Well, they can't disagree with it if that's the only Mishnah. But if there's another braita, another Tanaitic source that says what he says, well, then we're okay. So now we're going to see our Mishnah. So basically, what we have is there's a machloket about the machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, but not about our actual Mishnah. You follow? On the one hand, there's our Mishnah's approach to it, okay, which is, we're going to have to say now, below Ra'u ha'shenivala, right? Our Mishnah's talking about a case where they didn't see that they slept together. The Edim saw, and then we're going to see what is the case then. But the Edim didn't see that they slept together, and therefore, that's what the debate is about. Comes Rabbi Yochanan, okay, and he matches, we're going to see, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, okay, who's a Tana. Okay, he's going to match his opinion that we're going to see now in a Braita, and that's in the case that they're arguing, Bira'u ha'shenivala. Okay, so there's two different approaches, and Rabbi Yochanan's doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Apparently they actually saw them having sex. Okay? They have to have seen that because we're going to see now what's the other. Okay? Amar b'Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, this is going to match exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, right? Because now we're going to say Rabbi Yochanan matches up with his opinion. Al shelo ra'u shenivala, they didn't argue in the case where they didn't see them having sex. She'ena tzrichai menu get sheni, but clearly they don't need another get. Amanech leku, al shera'u shenivala, they were only arguing in that case. Now, it's, again, it's exactly Rabbi Yochanan. She'beit Shammai omrim, adam oseh bilato bilatznut. U'beit Hillel omrim, ein adam oseh bilato bilatznut. Now we have to go back and explain our Mishnah. And the Mishnah, do kimna below ra'ua shenivala b'mai pligi. So if they didn't see shenivala, so what's the machloket then? So now we're going to explain, and this is why it's going to prove exactly what you asked, Naomi, that clearly they saw that they have relations. They looked through the window, right? And the Zadim could have looked through the window, seen what was going on, right? It could be some nosy people, right? They see, they know this couple just got divorced. They see, they go into a room, they're like, oh my God, what's going on here? And they look through the window, and this is what they see. Okay, you could say this case might be very unlikely, right? But, okay, so now what's the case? De'ika eide yichud veleika eide bia. So in this case, below ra'ua, what's the case? There are eidim that saw them go into the room. They saw them check into a hotel, okay? But leika eide bia, but they didn't actually see what transpired. And in that case, Beit Shammai Savre, lo amrinan, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. Right? Beit Shammai says, just because there's eide yichud doesn't mean that they can assume that they had sex together. Ubeit Hillel Savre, amrinan, hein hein eide yichud, the hein hein eide bia. Okay, what does Beit Hillel say? If they went to a room alone, we can assume that they slept together, and that's going to work very well with the last line of that Mishnah. Umodim, and then they agree, therefore, benitgar shemena erusin, she'ena tzrichai menu get sheni, kevan de'en libo gaspa, lo amrinan hein hein e debia, right? Since he's not ragil to sleep with her, the assumption is that just because they went into a room alone doesn't mean they actually slept together. Okay? By the way, we paskin in this. Okay, I'll stop before we finish the end. But we paskin in this area, I mentioned this before, that even if there's Eide Yichud, that's enough to assume that he needs to give her another divorce. And they're not legitimately divorced. So if a husband comes, okay, they're going to need witnesses, but if a husband says, I slept with my wife after the divorce, like let's say she wants to go get married, and I mentioned there's cases that come to the Beit Din like this, she goes to get remarried, and he doesn't want her to get remarried, and he claims, but we slept together after. Now, obviously, according to this, you need some Eidim that they were alone in a room. But as long as you have Eidim they were alone in a room, that's enough to say the get's not a good get. And,
why
yeah.
would you have bad Eidim, people who are...
That's always
pays someone to say that they did.
So if you pay Eidim, right? Well, that's the job of the Beit Din to make sure that the Eidim were legitimate.
Case, you're basically trusting some person who says they looked through the window and saw them having sex. How do you like?
Well, that's a question with Eidim in general, and that's why there's all sorts of rules about people who aren't trustworthy and they can't be Eidim. I mean, we'll get to that in Sanhedrin. There's a whole long list of people
like
who we don't believe are trustworthy. But
generally,
yes.
cannot be trustworthy people.
Right.
I mean, you're having an aid for ketuvah.
No, but again, there's the husband who may not be trustworthy, but can he succeed in finding aidim that are going to lie for him? Now, we know nowadays it's very easy, right?
But I'm saying, talking about the aidim who happen to see these two people going to seclusion. People who spread rumors and go around saying, oh, I saw them. How do you know that? I think the very nature of people who go around spreading rumors like that aren't trustworthy people. It's different than an aid who's going to, to be an aid of ketuvah.
No, well, first of all, you're calling these people having spread rumors. We don't know that they've spread rumors. In other words, they come and they say, we saw these people. This isn't a rumor. What's a rumor? A rumor is, there's talk on the street about something. But here there's two people who come and say.
Yeah, that's
what they are.
What? They pay people to be.
No, isn't there a halacha forbidding somebody to go and try to look in on somebody who's having sexual relations? So then why can't the rabbanim say, it's impossible to determine to see whether people are having sex because it's a behavior that's discouraged and should be discouraged.
Right, it should be discouraged.
And there's in the machanot, they all have their doors facing
the machloket.
Right.
Did this case say they actually saw the bia, or did it say
that's what it says?
No, the
opinion we paskin is that we saw the seclusion.
Right.
And therefore we assume.
No, but this case was the bia. If they're saying that they actually saw them.
No. So Rabbi Bar Chan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan says that. Okay. That's his opinion, which I said we don't paskin like. We don't paskin that you need aidim to actually see they had sex. All you need is people that saw them check into a hotel. Right? That's not a... right? An uncommon thing that, you know, you see the couple, they just got divorced, and then you see them check into a hotel together. That's definitely possible. You see them go into their house together, you know, by themselves. Nobody else is there. It's possible someone could see that. And then it raises doubts about the marriage, the divorce.
You don't know if no one's there. I just feel like it's such a broad fest.
Right.
It's like there might be a kid sleeping upstairs in a room. There might be a cleaning lady down there. You just don't know.
It's complicated. It's definitely a complicated situation. There's no doubt about it. And it's more complicated when it's not that these Adim came forward and said this, but the husband starts saying, oh, the get's not a good get. And then he brings forward witnesses to go prove his point. And it's complicated, right? How vindictive is the husband being, and how much does he want to? We know that it can lead to cases, you know, men can be very vindictive. I mean, women also in these kind of situations. And they can use this to, you know, if they can find witnesses who are willing to lie for them, it's complicated.
Yeah, it would be common. People, they lived in the same house and he moved out, but then he wants
he
to
comes
get
back
something
in to get
the
something
house,
from the
and
house.
She happens to be there, and there's nobody else, and people see, oh, he went in. We know that she was the only one in there, so it's not someone.
Right.
It's not someone.
It's true. Right. You got to assume that there was a little more reason for suspicion here than just he walked into the house while she was there. And yeah, anyway, this is complicated. There's no two ways about it, that this is a difficult situation. Interestingly enough, Beit Hillel is the one who's, you know, more machmir in this case. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. So now we're just going to ask from it, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Because why is there a problem? Now we get into there's general principles said about certain rabbis, about Rabbi Yochanan particularly. It said, we paskin like a stam mishnah, meaning when a mishnah says something without, doesn't attribute it to a particular person's opinion, then we assume that the halacha is that way. Well, that's problematic in our case, because if Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha kistam mishnah, the stam mishnah goes against Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, because we just said the mishnah doesn't work with Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. Rabbi Yochanan, we said, follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who appears in the Braita. So, right, which is against Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the answer here? There's a machloket emoraim. Some emoraim hold that, in other words, people who came later than Rabbi Yochanan, some held that he holds like stam mishnah, and those who don't hold that way hold in this case that he doesn't hold like the stam mishnah. In other words, the Rabbi Yochanan that was passed down to us goes with the other school of thought, matches the other school of thought that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like a stam mishnah all the time. So there's a machloket about whether or not Rabbi Yochanan always holds like a stam mishnah or not. Okay, you could also answer up this question and just say this is an exception to the rule, right? Which they didn't say. But, right, like every rule, there's exceptions. Okay, new case. Knasa beget kereach. Teitzei mizeu mizeu. Okay, a bald get. Okay, what's a bald get? Okay. We're going to see, I'm going to explain to you right now. Okay, here's a bald get. Okay, for those who can't see because they're listening online, you can make a fan. Okay, if you make a fan out of a piece of paper, you can see what a get kereach is. Okay, it's a get that's written on one side, and then they write a few lines, and then they fold it, and then they sew down the fold, and on the back side of it, of that fold, an aid signs. And then they do another fold, they do another few lines, they fold it, they sew the parchment together and the aid signs on the back of that. And then they do it a third time, okay? Get kereach has to have three folds minimum. We'll explain in a minute why anyone would do this. You do the third one, you fin it, right? You write the lines of the get, you fold it, the aid signs. Okay, obviously the aid signs before you sew it down, right? In other words, he looks at it anyway before it's sewn down. Well, no, because the aide has to look at the document before he signs it. It's like anyone. You have to look at the document before it's signed.
He has to look at his portion of the document.
Right, I guess that his... that's a good question. That's a very good question. I'm not sure. I think he would have to look at the whole thing. Because he'd have to know that the get was a good get before he signed. Because he's really signing up on the whole thing, and you'll see why soon. After the third fold, okay, my paper didn't have any more room. But there could, in theory, be more space. Okay, and then you can finish writing the get and you don't have to fold it anymore. Now, why did they do this? They wanted to make it a more time-consuming procedure. Why? Because they wanted to discourage Kohanim. They were, according to the, you know, this Masoret, there were Kohanim who were zrizim to, you know, divorce their wives, who were quick to get angry and divorce their wives. And then they changed their minds and wanted to remarry them, and the Kohen can't be machzir grushato. So what did they say? Let's make them do a get mikushar. I'm sorry, a get, right, it's called a get mikushar, which was to, okay, we'll get to the get kereach in a minute. This is called the get mekushar as opposed to a get pashut. Get pashut is just regular. A get mekushar is this tied up one where they sew it down. And on every fold is a signature. There have to be, like I said, minimum of 3 signatures, and that's, again, just to make the procedure longer. Okay, there can be more. There can be 4, 5, 6, okay? But we're going to learn if there's 5 or 6 or 7 folds, every single fold needs a signature. We're going to learn soon, though, maybe not every signature has to be by a kosher witness. We'll talk about that soon. Okay, but now, what's the get kereach? The get kereach is, let's say, there's 3 folds, but only signatures on 2 of the folds. That's a bald get because it's missing signatures. Okay? So, let's say she gets divorced with a get kereach. Teitzei mizeh umizeh. It's another situation like our previous Mishnah. She has to get divorced from both the new husband and the old one. V'chol adrachim ha'elu ba'an. Everything we said in that last Mishnah is true. Get kereach hakol mashlimin alav divrei ben nanas. Once you have 2 witnesses, okay, or maybe 3, we're going to see soon. I think here we're talking past, I can't remember now, past the 2 or past the 3. I think he means past the 3. One second, let me just double check that. Right, this is once you have 2. Okay, once you have the 2 witnesses, then, I believe that that's the case. I don't see it now, but I think that's the case. Then anyone else can sign, meaning he could be any pasula agent. We don't care who signs. As long as there's 2 good witnesses, that's sufficient. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein mashlimin alav ela krovin haruyin lahaid b'makom acher. There's a difference between people who can't testify because they're known liars, like robbers and things like that, okay, or relatives who are kosher witnesses, but not in this case, because they're relatives. Ve'ezeh who get kereach. Okay, now we're explaining what it is, even though we already know. Kol shekshareiv merubim me'edav. If they have folds, right, then the sewn parts are more than the amount of witnesses. So again, 3 folds, 3 witnesses. Any less than that is a get kereach. My time is to get kereach. Why is it? Why is it that every single fold, okay, the Gemara asks, has to have a witness signed? So what's the issue? Gzeira mishum kulchem. We're worried that what happened, maybe, right, the assumption is all these agents were in the room at the time, so maybe he said, I want all of you to sign. And therefore, if there's one place missing a signature, maybe he really wanted every single person in the room to sign, and therefore maybe somebody wasn't there, you know, somebody didn't sign who was supposed to sign. But it's just a gzeira, right? We don't know that for sure, so it's just a gzeira. Get kereach. Again, what do we see? A Durabanan case, right? It's just this gzeirah. And because of that, we're going to make her get divorced and do all these things. Get kereach hakol mashlimin alav. V'Rabbi Akiva, Eved my time alo. So now we're going to ask, okay, who are one of the pasul eidut? An Eved Knani. Why can't he sign? My time alo. Ta'atu lemeimar kasher le'edut. If the whole reason why Rabbi Akiva doesn't allow an Eved, why do you think he doesn't allow him to sign the Get Kereach? Because if we allow him to sign, I'm sorry, on a Get Mekushar. If we allow him to sign on a Get Mekushar, what will happen? People will say, oh, maybe he's Kasher Le'edudach, right? Maybe we can accept an Eved's testimony. So if that's the case, Karov Nami. It should be the same thing with a relative. If we see a relative sign on the Get, we should be concerned that maybe people will think, so therefore, we don't understand Rabbi Akiva. Why does he allow a karov and not an eved, for example? So ela eved haynu tama didilma ati lasuke liyuchsin. What are we worried about? An eved was always an issue for yuchsin, right? That he can't marry. We want to know he's an eved, so he can't marry other people. If we allow him to sign on this, people might think, oh, maybe he was freed, and maybe he's a full-fledged Jew, and therefore we can allow him to marry people. So therefore, we're worried that if we allow him to sign, people might get confused and think that he was freed. So now we're going to say, so gazlan, debar yuchsin hu, lit kasher. So a gazlan then, right, if we're not a gazlan, what's the issue? He's fine to marry anybody, so maybe we should say he's kasher. And alamatnan, Rabbi Kiva omer, e mashlimin alav, ela provina ruin la'i b'makom acher. So what do we say? Karavin gazlan lo. So now we want to know, why is a gazlan kasher? Right? Why isn't he good? He must not be good because we're worried. People will allow his testimony in other places, and therefore it should be the same thing with the karov. And we know that if he only allowed a karov, he clearly didn't allow a gazlan. Ela eved, Hainu tama da atu lemeimer shechure shachure. Gazlan nami atu lemeimer tshuva avad. What's the issue with a gazlan? Okay, this is a very interesting sugya in Sanhedrin, which is that at a certain point, right, it's always a question, when someone does something bad, we apostle him, le'edu, right? Someone's a gazlan, let's say. He's chashud that he's taking money. So now, he's chashud that he's taking money to testify falsely. But at a certain point, when he does tshuva, we allow him back into the, we allow him to sign again. It's a whole sugya about exactly how we know he's really done tshuva, which is a very fascinating sugya. Okay, we'll get to it in Sanhedrin, which is, you never really know if someone's done tshuva, so there has to be a bit of a higher level of tshuva here. So now, just like the Eved were worried, maybe people will think that he was freed, the Gazlan were worried, maybe people will think he's done tshuva, and they'll accept his testimony for other things. So Karav Ma'ika Lameimar, Karav Kuleyama Yadei De Karav Hu, but when it comes to a Karav, everybody knows that he's a relative. And therefore, no one's going to think, oh, maybe he's not a relative, right? You know, the Karav status can never change. You can't be unrelated to someone at a certain point, right? Maybe you could be disowned by them, but halachically, you're always going to be a Karav. So therefore, it's the Eved and the Gazlan whose status can change. Therefore, we don't allow them to sign here because people might think that their status has changed if they're signed on a document. And they'll accept their testimony in other places. What did you want to ask?
But could they be divorced? Are they a relative by marriage, or they have to be? They're always relative blood marriage.
Well, it could be a relative to the man or to the woman, right? Because they're signing on their get.
No, but it could be her sister and her brother.
So are those people pasule edu by marriage?
They get,
right, they could be divorced. It's possible. Yeah, but everybody knows if they're divorced or not. In other words, that's the assumption. It's not like a Karav is going to have a situation where people think they're related and they're not, or they think they're not related and they are. It's unlikely. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from here tomorrow.